You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want.
Hello, we welcome you to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. What a blessing it is to have you join us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our church prays regularly for you, the listener. It is our deep desire that God would use these broadcasts to deepen your understanding of the Scriptures and your faith in the Lord who inspired them. We thank you for investing your time today. If you have questions or a need for prayer this morning, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the page and send your concerns and requests from there. Today, we will listen to the third message in a series entitled Driven by Eternity. We're learning that God has been trying to get us to grasp something that our minds can't fully comprehend. He talked about eternity from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. It is a theme that carries through to the end of the book in Revelation. God put eternity in our hearts, yet we can't understand His plans for it. But we pay so little attention to it. We're caught up in the here and now of things. Eternity is something we think comes after we die, but it does not have much impact on our here and now. But if God focused so much on eternity in His Word, there must be a here and now importance to it. Would you think about these things as we listen to this message by Pastor Sam Chess?
We're going to talk again about eternity. Driven by eternity. It's been a long time since I've had such intense response from people during a series of sermons. Wednesday evening, this place was filled with responders, lots of them. Afterwards, this aisle filled with people who all had an idea that was brilliant, and it was. Then one email after another, that kept coming in, and then I've heard people in this building since saying, my mind is blown, my mind is stretched. So we're going to try our best to stretch it just a little bit more. The reason for that is this topic that we're talking about, our brain can't quite grasp it. It's bigger than our brain, and yet the Bible is filled with references. Literally, from the first book to the very last book, absolutely jammed with references where God obviously is trying to get us to understand, get it? The ununderstandable. Topic's big, but I promise you it will be worth it. Why in the world is it true that God wants us to why does it matter? Clearly, God thinks it matters that we somehow grasp the ungraspable. Somehow we're going to wrestle our minds away from the tiny little temporal ingrown eyeball. It's all about now. It's all about me that we tend to live in. That little bubble that we all tend to live in. God wants to wrestle it out and show us that there's this much bigger picture. This huge picture that He calls the eternal or eternity. Somehow He wants our mind to get outside of the bubble and explore something a whole lot bigger than what we tend to. Let me show you Ecclesiastes 3:11 again. God made everything beautiful for its own time. We often stop there. Nobody goes beyond that because we like that sentence so much. But here's the next one. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. And we like that part too. So we don't try. It's too big. Topic's too big. But it is literally what it says that God, reading from right to left, that eternity, remember there's that word that we've been looking at quite a lot, olam, planted, set, placed in the human heart. Eternity is planted in the, you say, Chess, I'm not so much into this. Eternity. I like thinking more about the now. I like planting my thoughts in the now. Let me get a little New York twang. In the now. In the now. I like focusing on the here and now. I want to live the good life. I want to focus on this life. I want to get this life right. I want to focus on the now. You, me, and 7 billion other people. But God says that he's actually built eternity into our minds. And it's the word leap. It's bigger than our mind. Our mind, our wills, our emotion, our inner person has the eternal built in. It's there. Our creator built eternity into us. He's eternal. He built us in his image, so he built eternity into our hearts. It's inside, desperately needing to get out. And when we pour all of our thinking into what's in this life, what's in the now for me, there's something inside every one of us that's screaming, no, no, there's more to this life than this life. It isn't all about the now. This life is not all there is to your existence. We had a memorial service right here last Sunday night. Tom Pine, 72 years old, 73 years old, just turned 73, went out on his boat, lost his glasses over the side of the boat, dove in repeatedly trying to find his glasses, came up onto the deck and died of a heart attack. And a lot of his friends were in this room last Sunday, right here. And I drove this point home. This life is not just about this life. If this were all there were, if everything that we have is in front of us, and then we blink off into oblivion, boom, we're gone, then Tom's dying at 73 years of age just because he lost his glasses over the side of the boat is kind of a horrible tragedy. Unless he's living on somewhere else. But where? And for how long? You say, well, for eternity. What's that mean? It's amazing how quick we are to accept heaven after this life is over. Almost everybody says that. I'm going to heaven, whether they believe in God or not. I'm going to heaven. But there can't be a heaven unless there's an eternity. The first week after we're in heaven, whatever heaven is, the streets of gold, the pearly gates, whatever they are, we're going to have experienced all that in a rather short period of time. And then what? If we're in heaven for a billion years, that will just be the beginning. What in the world do we do a billion years from now? If you're living eternally, what in the world does that mean to you? And I explained to the crowd last Sunday that Jesus said, when this life is over, if we have embraced his gift of forgiveness, his gift of heart cleansing, if we have, we will experience, Jesus' words, eternal life, life eternal, life everlasting. And I said that to that group of people last Sunday night, and I've started to grow used to people staring at me at funerals like I have three heads. Kind of a common thing. But then some people will slide forward in their seats because there's something stirring down in their soul. Something that's saying to them, this life is not just about this life. Something's there. God planted eternity in our hearts. So here's the rubber meets the road, though. It's okay for me to say that as an introduction to the sermon, but here's where the real rubber starts to meet the road. I had somebody tell me after Wednesday evening when we studied this subject quite deeply, they said, I have been in church all my life, and I've never looked at any of that stuff that we were talking about on Wednesday night. It never, ever entered my mind that eternity was somehow a bigger subject than just saying it. I'm going to live eternally. Let me just show you something. If you do a search on the word eternity, and this is not going to project very well, it's just a screenshot from my phone. But here's what you find. Here's what you constantly find. So I want to know what the Bible says about eternity. And you will find 35 Bible verses about eternity. You open them up, there's 35. Or here, 10 Bible verses about eternal life by the United Bible Society. I've spent 41 years preaching, and I've talked about eternity a lot, but never dug deeply enough to understand that that's just absolutely scratching the surface. If I want to know what the Bible says about eternal life or eternity, I want to understand what goes on when this life is over, I'm going to have to do more than look at my 10 favorite Bible verses. So I have been, for the very first time in my life, digging into more than 500 verses in the Bible. Who knew? Until God kind of sent me looking a week and a half ago. Go find them. And I did. I went and found everything from beginning to the end, from the book of Genesis right to the Revelation. God pounds us with scores and scores and scores of verses that talk about eternity, and I'm looking at them for the first time after 41 years of preaching. I'm looking at them going, oh my, who knew this was here? Who knew that was true? This is what I do for fun. I told my son last night, this is actually fun for me. I'm looking in there and I'm going, oh my, this is life changing. This is changing me on the inside. My mind is stretching. My mind is blowing. And then I get to share that fun with you. But in the middle of the fun, I had to ask some obvious questions. Why do so few people talk about this subject? Why do so few people talk about these verses, 500 of them, in the Bible? We tell people all the time that Jesus has promised us eternal life. How many times does that flow out of our mouth? But we seldom explain what that means. What does it even mean that you are going to have eternal life? We lift up our hands during a song. You probably did it a while ago. We lift our hands up during a song about living forever with Jesus. And as soon as our hands come back down, we get completely focused, passionately focused on what's going to happen in our life for the next few minutes or days. It becomes our consuming focus. We're human. We tend to think like humans. There are few topics in the whole Bible where 500 verses are written about. Almost none. Many of our major doctrines are formed on 200 or 120. Some of them less than 100 verses in the Bible form these huge doctrines. And now God has put 500 verses in the Bible about something that none of us ever tend to talk about. Why would that be true? 2 Corinthians 5:1. We know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down. Did you know this verse was in the Bible? When this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself. Look at that, an eternal body made for us by God himself, not by human hands. Okay, so you're going to change this body for another one. We kind of all know that's true. It's going to be an eternal body. You're going to live in some other body forever. Everybody says, oh, goody. But we're not really sure what to do with it. Two, we grow weary in our present bodies. So we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothes. True? If you're 20 in this room, you go, no. If you're 70 in this room, you're going, yes. For we will put on heavenly bodies. For while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. Yeah, especially when we get up or sit down. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on, watch this, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. It's the same word Jesus uses all the time when he talks about eternal life. So that these dying bodies, these bodies that aren't going to make it all that long, will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this. Even with verses like that in the Bible, of which there are quite a few, even with Jesus offering dozens of times, we haven't even got to that part yet, dozens of times he offers life eternal or eternal life, none of us are lining up to go to heaven tomorrow, are we? I want the new body. Didn't it just say that, actually? I want the new body. I just don't want it right now. Yes? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. So I ask myself, is there any other topic in all of the Bible that God mentions, starting with the third chapter of Genesis, and then ends in the last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation 22, every chapter, not every chapter, but a whole bunch of them in between. Is there any topic that God talks about so much that we want to talk about so little as this one? And the answer I've come up with is probably not. But why? Why don't we want to tackle that topic? I think there's a reason. Why don't we want to talk about eternity? Because when we start to head down that road, our minds go into Nutsville. We don't want to go down that road at all. Let me try to go down that road with you a bit. Will you stay with me today? Let your mind go places it doesn't normally go. It'll blow a little bit. It'll backfire, probably. Several of you have already said that's happening. So let's play with this just a little bit, or actually it's more than playing. It's Isaiah 43:13. This is God talking. From eternity to eternity, far back as you can go, far forward as you can go, I am God. Okay. So then I chose two others out of the 500. One that looks back, one that looks forward. Here's the back one. Psalm 93:2. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from the everlasting past. Here's the deal. God has no beginning ever. He's always existed. Always. Got your head around that one? I gave you an illustration about me as a kid last week. Still trying to get it. God never began. And then we go forward. Here's Nebuchadnezzar after he gets his head on straight. He said, I worship the El Elyon, the Most High. I honor the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting. His kingdom is eternal. Eternal. So here it is. God never had a beginning. And I purposely have tried to get you to try to get your head around that. God, think about it. Stop and think about it. Don't think about anything else right now. Get your head around this one. God has always, always been. He didn't start. God lived a billion years ago. God was already in existence. And you think that's a huge thing. And then all of a sudden it occurs to you that was just the beginning. That was just like the fraction of time. And he's been in existence far back beyond that. And our mind tries desperately to get back there and get it. Didn't it happen? Your mind goes back, try to get it, and it goes to a certain point and then it clicks off. Boom. Because we're finite. We can't quite grab that. God never started. And then we go the other direction, trying desperately to understand. And this gets really important where you're involved, because in the process of everything the Bible has to say about eternity, as it moves forward, it says, and God will never, ever end. A billion years from now, 10 billion years from now, God will already still be existing. And in the process, you're picked up along the way. You're eternal too. And then you begin to try to get your head around the fact that even though as you sit in this chair in 2019, that you will never, ever actually cease to exist. And your mind tries to grab that and then it quits. The reality goes deeper than that. I haven't even got there yet. That's hard. But let me take you a step further than that. We can't just say God existed 1 billion years ago because I just used a measure of time. To say that, I used a measure of time. God created time for us humans to live in, to keep us on track. He gives us a sun, followed by a moon, followed by a sun, followed by a moon, and every time we call that a day, 24 hours in a day, and there are 365.242199 days in a year. And that's why we have a leap year. We watch it all happen. It happened. It keeps going along. And pretty soon, I'm now the older guy, and my sons are the younger, and their sons are the younger than that. Because all those days have gone by. Time has gone on. And it ain't going to stop anytime soon. But here's the deal. God lives outside of time. He doesn't get up in the morning when the sun rises. And one has to assume that once you go beyond our solar system, even beyond the edges of the Earth, once you get slightly away into our Milky Way galaxy and on into the reaches of the universe, there's no time there either. There's no time. It's only here that we have the sun rising and the sun setting. You go out into the Milky Way. Here we are, a couple pictures. You go out in the Milky Way. Our sun is in effect. There's no sun rising. There's no sun setting. There's no time there. That's part of the eternal. And then you look at, I pulled this other picture on purpose, that, well, what in the world are those other things out there? What are these huge expanses of space with this stuff in it, like right there, that are far bigger than our Milky Way galaxy, which is 400 billion light years across? Well, what is all of that? Well, we don't know what all of that is. Whatever it is, it came out of the being. All of that matter and energy came out of the being of God. Nothing exists out there that didn't come out of his being. But none of it is being regulated by the sun rising in the morning and the moon at night. None of it. It's all outside of time. Now watch this. All of the universe, and I put the word perhaps in because I'm way outside of my brain at this point. All of the universe exists outside of time. And the God who made it and regulates it is larger than the whole universe combined and definitely lives outside of time. Two. Now stay with me. You ready? Pull up your swimmies. The infinite presence of God is here. We've been down this trail a lot of times. The presence of God is here in this room. All of it's here. All of God is here. But the presence of God is existing 1 billion years ago, Earth time, right now. All of God. And all of the presence of God is already existing 1 billion years in the future. He doesn't live in time. When Peter, 2 Peter 3, when Peter talks about a day is to God like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It's the same to say a day is like 1 billion years. God doesn't live inside of time. An expanse of 2 billion years to God is absolutely, he doesn't live in time. He lives in all times, all the time. He doesn't have a watch on his arm. He made time for us and put us inside of it. This thing gets so much bigger than our ability to grasp. As soon as you try to grasp that, your brain reaches for it. The fact that God exists already, he already exists 1 billion years from now. Here's the deal. If you're worried about whether God knows what to do with your life 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 20 years from now, if you're worried, if you're a young person, you don't know if God is going to be available and able to help you 50 years from now, you're in luck. God's already there. He doesn't get there when we get there. He's already there. He lives outside of time. That's going to be important because he's going to try to get it in our heads. He's eternal. And he's going to make you eternal. So he has to get through that. He has to crack the time barrier. He has to get through the time thing in our mind that says everything is about the sun rising and setting and the ticking that's going on my wrist. And God say, no, no, no. There's far more to life than this life. It's bigger. And God is intense on trying to get that through. I'll show you in a minute.
We take a brief pause from the broadcast to welcome those of you just joining us. You're listening to the third in a series of messages titled Driven by Eternity. When we talk about God being eternal or infinite, we still use words that are part of time. But God sees all of eternity, past and future, as now in front of him. He exists outside of time. He does not need it. This great and sovereign, eternal and infinite God chose one planet in the whole universe as the focus of his grace and power. He chose to make beings like himself that he could love. He chose a single man and a single nation. He entered into time in the incarnation, and he died from the sins of all and rose again. This infinite God dwells in the life of every person who follows Jesus in faith. We are eternal because of his great grace. If you have questions about this or in need to contact us, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to the website at graceemmanuel.com. Now let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
God's not like us. He's not the man upstairs. God's holy. God is infinite. God is not natural. God is supernatural. Look at that. He's completely outside of. everything that we function in. That's why we don't get it. That's why it's so hard for us to grasp, but it's true. Now, here's the part we do need to get, though. This God, who lives 10 billion years forward and 10 billion years backwards, all at the same time. Remember, it's all like a second to him. Boom. Get that through your mind. That all of time, our time, is like a second to God. This God handpicked this planet, this tiny orb in all the vastness of space, in everything that he had created, he picked this planet to put the centerpiece of his creation. Two people formed in his image. He put them here out of everywhere he could. You see, I've been able to pinpoint where we are in the, which is good. It took some real effort, but why did he choose this planet where he put Adam and Eve? We asked this question Wednesday evening. What had God been doing for a billion years before he made Adam and Eve? What had he been doing for 10 billion years, earth years? Remembering that a billion years is as a day to God and a day. But what has to be true is that in that whole vast expanse of time, he was focusing on this. He was focusing on getting humanity onto that planet and planting humanity there just a handful of years ago in the big picture of things. How, Chess, can you be so arrogant to believe that all that is about God putting us on this planet? All that God has done is about planting us here. How do you know that the infinite God, the timeless God that you've been describing, the God who created all matter and energy with a single sentence out of his mouth, how do you know that he gives a hoot about what goes on this planet, either past, present, or future? How do you know that God cares anything about this planet when that whole universe is out there? And the answer would be, because that's what the Bible said. If you believe the Bible description of God, if you believe the Bible, then you have to believe that God himself personally came to this planet after putting Adam and Eve here and communed with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. The God of the universe came here. And if you accept that Lucifer, one of God's archangels, was so ticked off that God would create a being that he loved and communed with more than he did the angels, more than he did Lucifer and the angels, so ticked off that he was willing to lead one third of the angels in rebellion against God. And you have to accept that humanity listened to the advice of that evil one and rejected the loving God in whose image they were created. And then you have to accept, if you believe the Bible, that the incarnate God of the universe took on human form, became a human being, came to that planet, and allowed himself to be trapped in the natural, emptied himself of the infinite, and came here, not Pluto. He came here. Why did he come here? Philippians 2, 6, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You say, wait a minute, Chess. He emptied himself, but he raised dead people. He raised people from the dead. Yes, but one sentence, get this, one sentence from an infinite Jesus would have brought back to life every person who had ever died. That's an infinite God. And you know one day that's what he's going to do. He just focused on one person. But one sentence from an infinite Jesus, who he was before he got here, would raise every dead person on the planet. You say, Chess, he healed all kinds of diseases. Yes, but one word from an unchecked, infinite Jesus. That's who he is. That's who he was before he arrived on this planet. That's who he is now. One word from an infinite Jesus would have banished all disease and even the curse itself right off this planet. That's what he's going to do one of these days. That's what the Bible says. The God who is bigger than everything that exists, out of whose power of being every molecule in this universe was formed and is held together, Colossians 1:17, that God willingly bound himself to the time and space that he had created for his beloved. Are we getting any of that at all? Infinite God, who can say a word and all of the creation comes into you, that God bound himself to space and bound himself to time. We don't often think about the fact that when Jesus got up in the morning to the sun rising, and the crow of roosters, that to him that was an earthly burden. But it was. He hadn't lived with that until he got here. And we don't think about the fact that Jesus being one place at one time, when he got on this planet, was somehow an earthly burden. But it was, because he lived everywhere, all of the time. He's God. He's infinite. I have no idea why God chose this one ball of the tens of billions of planets that are out there, why he chose this ball to bring his son to. But it wasn't luck or chance. This is where the Son of God died to pay the eternal debt for humanity's sins, right here on this planet. This is where he sent his Holy Spirit to infill humanity, to infill believers. This is where he wanted his church to be built, that he said the powers of hell would not be able to conquer. This planet is where he said his church would bind and loose on earth what had already been bound and loosed in heaven. We're kind of a big deal here. This tiny planet, this is the planet in all of the universe that the infinite God of the universe is going to return to. This planet, in the second coming of Jesus. This is the planet, we're told, where the throne of God inside of the New Jerusalem is going to descend to this planet. And then Revelation 21 and 22 says, and then God will dwell with men. Here, not Pluto, not out there somewhere else in the universe, but right here. And I can't explain why this silly little ball seems to be the centerpiece. But the Bible says it is. God has a plan. Now here's the deal. So when God puts Adam and Eve on this earth, the first thing he does is he puts a sun in the sky to rule the day and a moon to rule the night. And a clock starts ticking in everybody's life. A clock starts ticking and we break it down into these increments of time that we put either on our wrist or it shows up at the top of our phone and every day is clicking off and in our minds it's clicking and clicking and time is advancing and we're so concerned about making absolutely certain that what we do with our exact number of days is the ultimate, that somehow we maximize every clicking second that makes up time in our life. And the God who made time, the God who dwells in eternity, who put us in time, we're just so focused on it, we can't possibly get away from it. It regulates everything we do, and yet God is saying, not so fast. He's saying to humanity, not so fast. Yes, I put you inside of time. It regulates you. You're consumed by it. You think about it all of the time. You imagine that what's going to happen in the next week of your life is so very important when, in fact, you won't even remember it a day or 2 days from now. But there's more here than what you're seeing. And that God starts hammering from the third chapter of Genesis. He begins hammering. And let me just say this. I'll do this as a little sidebar, but I'm not going to move over. I have no idea until I begin to study these scriptures that from the third chapter of Genesis, where God talks about the tree of life. And remember, the tree of life shows up again in Revelation 21. That tree of life doesn't go away. And then almost every other chapter in the Bible, right up to Revelation, And then he starts to hammer it. He hammers it. When he talks to Abraham, he begins to hammer this eternal. And he talks to Isaac, and he talks to Jacob, and he's hammering. And he gets to chapter 19 of Genesis, and he continues to hammer it. And then 500, more than 500 more times in the Bible. And God is saying, I'm so convinced as I read through them, and I have. You know what God's saying in here as I read through this? God is saying, look up. Look, God is saying, I put you in time, but that's not your future. Look up. Look away from the temporal. There is an eternity out here. I'm living in the eternity, and you're on your way there too. There's more to this life than this life. What you think is true in the list that you have on your phone, or you're absolutely certain is true in the written list you have of your ambitions over the next 5 or 10 years, God's saying, look up, get your head up, get your head up. Get your head out of the now. I need you to see something, God is saying. You lift your head out of the now and begin to understand the future. And your future is an eternal future. You're not on this planet for just 76.64 years. You're in life. You're now eternal in nature. And you can see the Old Testament saying something like, I got this herd of camels and all these goats and this tent that has to be taken down and moved every time we're looking for water. And I've got these wife or wives in those days, and I've got 18 kids over here. And I am so convinced when God begins to talk to the patriarchs in the Old Testament, I'm so convinced, couldn't become more convinced than I am right now after the last couple of weeks of study, that this huge amount of scripture that shows up on this topic is God saying, get your head up, patriarch, get your head up. Look beyond this life. Don't see everything as if it were what's happening when the sun rises and sets again. Do not get buried in the fleeting things. This life is part of the journey, but it's just a part of the journey. There's more coming when this life is over. Listen, don't get confused into thinking the herd of camels is what you were put on this earth to accomplish. He said it to Abraham. It's not in the Bible, but I'm sure he said it. Don't get confused into thinking the herd of camels is why you're here. It's not. It's just a means to an end. The ticking clock of time started you into this life. And if Jesus doesn't return, the ticking clock of time will take you out of this life. But I need you to understand, God says, that just above the atmosphere of your sin-cursed planet is a place where time is no more. Eternity. And when your 78.69 years, at least in the U.S., average years on this planet are over, your timeless eternity will have just begun. And then this statement, I think God gave it to me. I joined you in time so you could join me in eternity. I came into your time so you would come into mine. And that's what God's doing with all these verses. I still have a couple of pages of notes, but I won't cover it. Job, just start with, he's the oldest writer in the Bible. We look at Moses writing the first five books. Moses didn't write till 700 years after Job had died. So Job's writing is the earliest, and Job is saying stuff that really is quite amazing, the insight that he has so early on. But he doesn't seem to catch it until his herd of camels was gone. We get so enmeshed in our herd of camels, don't we? It's all about the now. It's all about what I achieve now. It's all about what I accumulate in this life. No, it isn't. And that's what God is so clearly saying, starting at the very earliest places in the Bible. Job loses his herd of camels. He got nothing left. And then, in Job chapter 19, then is when we see him say, but as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And he will stand upon the earth at last. That word means eternity. Job's getting, he's seeing something. He's seeing through a crack. He's got his head up in the air. After my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God, Job says. Oh, that's rich for somebody that far back. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. I just thought that was interesting that he actually uses the word Ga'al, redeem, long before Jesus would show up. But it's striking to me how much of God reminding Israel, and he just starts hammering, bam, bam, bam. He starts hitting them with the eternal, everlasting, forever. The words just keep flowing through the pages of Scripture. But always, always attached to it is this sense of his personal care. Just because he's out there somewhere. He's eternal. He's bigger than the stuff that we tend to call life. God wants to make absolutely certain that we don't miss that his eternality is personal. He reaches into our time and lifts us into his. That's what the Bible begins to tell us. And we'll unfold it here as we go along. Let me just give you three. The eternal God is your refuge. The eternal God, existing outside of time, personally cares about you. Cares about what happens in your life today, tomorrow, the next day. Personally, eternal God reaches into time and lifts you. His everlasting arms are under you. He gets to do that because he's eternal, not locked into your world or mine. Psalm 145, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious. The eternal God, gracious. Gracious in all that he does. And one more. I don't know where this one's been all my life, but I'm pretty sure it's been in the Bible the whole time. When Israel can't quite get, I mean, they struggle to get this. This gets bigger. We're not there yet. This gets bigger. Because pretty soon he's going to convince them that an eternal Messiah is on the way. They didn't get that part. And then finally the eternal Messiah is going to show up on the earth, stand up, look him in the eye and say, I came to bring you eternal life. And all of this will then snap into place. God's about eternity. He's not about the here and now. He is. But the here and now is all about then. He gets us ready for then. That's his whole point. This last one, Isaiah's pounding the Israelites because they're kind of losing sight. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? You've heard this so much. It's all through the Bible up to this point. The Lord is the everlasting God. The Lord is the creator. Let's go over here in the back screen. The creator of the ends of the earth neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. You see that? It's always connected. Always connected. God's eternal nature reaches into our world to lift us from the temporal to the eternal. That's what he wants for you. Man, that's what he wants for me. Chess, get your eyes off of today. If you're living just about today and tomorrow, if you're consumed with this next week and next month and that's all you're thinking about, you've missed the whole picture, God says. This life is about more than this life. It's not just about you getting to the end of everything you plan for yourself and breathing your last breath and then say, phew, thank God I get to go to heaven. No, heaven's part of eternity. This whole life is supposed to be designed for me to live for eternity. My decisions, my ambition, what I'm doing is supposed to have a bigger look than just the ingrown eyeballs of what's going on in my life today. Oh God, help us to get that. If we could see that, if I could see that my life is not just this little tiny bubble, but my life is all of this eternal, it would change how I view everything in my life. It would change how I approach my decision. It would change how I make my lists of goals. I'm eternal. I'm here for eternity. I'm preparing to live forever in eternity. Man, that changes, does it not? The little bits of things that we call our daily lives. So let me pray. Father, you know us in this room, me too, and how human we are. I'm not blaming us because you made time and you made humanity. Of course, we fell, and that added a lot to that whole thing. But at the same time, you understand us. You love us so much. You literally invaded You crashed the timeline. And you came to this earth, took on humanity, took on finiteness, where you were held back like we are. But you did it to show us something. This isn't the end. This life is not just about this life. Eternity is waiting. I'm here to take you into the eternal. That was Jesus' job. And he did it well. If only we'll listen. Yes, God. I'm willing. I'm willing to let God put his great big Heavenly Father finger under my chin and lift it up to where I'm not focused on the now. I'm focused on the eternal. That's what matters. That's what's driving me. That's why I'm making the decisions that I'm making. Living for eternity. Driven by the eternal. Oh God, may it be so. In Jesus' name.
We thank you so much for listening to the message today. God made us. He saved us. He indwells us. He is eternal, and so are we. Since we are still here, though, there must be some eternal things for us to do and to be. Please join our pastors now for a roundtable discussion about this message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
As we go back over these topics, listening to them a second time, God always seems to impress on me that this truth is for me, perhaps as much as it is for anybody out there listening, and getting me to understand things that I've never known before. I've been pastoring 41 years. I have never in those 41 years ever taken the time, never had the impression, deep impression from God that I needed to take the time to look up 513 different passages on eternal in eternity. And it's only when I began to do that that God began to show me, hey, this is a much bigger topic than anything that you've ever known before. And this is so true of so many parts of Scripture. We're doing a series right now in our church on repentance. And I began to look deeply into repentance and begin to understand that there's just so much on that topic that we don't tend to look at. We don't tend to look at what does the Old Testament say? What did John the Baptist say? What did Jesus say? What did Paul say? What did Peter say? And it turns out when you put them all together and begin to look at them, you begin to understand that this subject is so huge, and in so many cases, it's so misunderstood because so many people take their favorite 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 verses and then fit their theology down over top of a few verses. And that tends to be, and God gave me this picture, in fact, in my mind, of a toolbox. And inside the toolbox is a huge crescent wrench, and we tend to try to take a single crescent wrench, or maybe a screwdriver and a crescent wrench, and the workman tries to take every nut off with a crescent wrench. I've done that, probably most people have, and you end up stripping the nut off, without realizing that if we just had all the specialized tools in the box, we could remove every nut that needs removed and not strip it in the process. And we tend to do that with Scripture. We try to do everything with just one or two passages of Scripture. And that's where we end up with in this eternity series. Because so many of us, even though this topic, 500 plus passages, is such a huge topic in Scripture, most of us don't spend any time thinking about it. We didn't actually say this in the sermon, but let me ask this. How many of us listening, over the last year, how many of us have spent 1 hour in 12 months' time thinking about what it will be like living for all of eternity? We don't tend to do that. And there is no other topic that God talks about seemingly so much in Scripture, 513 passages, that we tend to talk about so little. And I really believe that what God's trying to do from the very beginning, Genesis 3 right to Revelation 22, he's trying to get our eyes up off of the today. He's trying to get us to understand that the temporal is temporal. and that life is not really about the temporal, it's about the eternal. And if he can just get our eyes up off of the temporal and understand that there's more to this life than this life. This life is not just about this life. This life is about preparing for eternity. We are, in fact, training for reigning.
I want to piggyback on what Pastor Sam said and borrow from a phrase that he used. He says that Jesus says, I joined you in time so that you could join me in eternity. And that's amazing. But at the same time, there's something additional to it. Jesus now lives in us. The Holy Spirit is in us so that the eternity that we live begins now. We can live eternally now. You know, before I became a believer, if you would have talked to me about Jesus or Christianity or holiness or any of that, I would have thought about how small life would be. I would have said, no, I have to give up way too much. I'd have to restrict myself. I'd be in bondage to this thing. Now on the other side of the cross, I recognize that when I yielded my life to Christ, my life became free. The bondage that was on me was gone because now I was living for eternity. The idea was that all of my needs would now be met by his riches in Christ. Not just that, but the things that I thought I need would change. Things that were so important before were now no longer important. The fears that I once had, they're gone. Because what kind of fear can I have in light of eternity? And the other thing that happens to us when we surrender our lives to Christ, to this eternity that is in him, is that our lives, relatively small, become huge. We no longer fear the things that can happen to us, so we start looking outside of ourselves. We look to the people next to us, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want them to live eternally as well. So now this life that we live, that was lived for the temporal, was so small because it was being lived for the temporal. But now this eternal life in us has been brought into Christ, and this small life that we've been living is made part of something so much bigger and so much more important because it's eternal.
Today I celebrate the fact that my mother died back in 1991. And you know, when I think of my mother, she was a mother that nurtured me and brought me up in the faith. And not only that, she lived the faith. Then she died with the rheumatic fever. And to think that she would live this life just for that, and that was it, would be sad. And she believed she had eternal life. And it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And my mother believed that. And I do too. And I'm looking forward to the day when I'll see her again. But the fact is that it's also directed me to live a life that is living for eternity. How about you?
Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is before all things, and by him all things exist. That's love. That's infinite love. As Pastor Sam said, the God who is bigger than everything that exists, out of whose power of being every molecule in the universe was formed and is held together, that God willingly bound himself to the time and space that he had created for his beloved humanity. Unrivaled power, unrivaled love. We would never do that. Thankfully, he is God and we are not. That he came to die a gruesome death. He was unceremoniously murdered, hung up on a cross, but that's not the end of the story. He rose again, he ascended, and now we have new life. So here's the big question. What are we doing with that sacrifice? What are we doing with this new life that has been promised to us, that is birthed with the Holy Spirit residing in us? It's not for the temporary, it's for the eternal. So may that be true of each one of us. May we leverage our lives for eternal things, not temporal things, because only when we do that is God truly glorified and we're truly satisfied.
It is our prayer that God has blessed you as you listen today. We also invite you to visit with us each Sunday morning. Join us for coffee and fellowship with new friends at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. We have a children's program that takes place during the worship service called Disciple Town. It's a fun and engaging time of worship and learning for your children ages 4 years old through fifth grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger ones during Bible classes and our worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. We have a full schedule of activities and blessing for you and your family each week here at Grace Emmanuel. Please contact us or visit our website to learn about the opportunities that we have for you here. We believe that God wants to do an amazing and eternal work in your life. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, please text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Click on the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. From there, you can send us your prayer requests, your questions, and any needs you have. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the risen, eternal Savior grant you grace and power and joy this day. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Hi, my name is Mark Worley. I'm the administrator here at Grace Emmanuel Church. Thank you for listening to our broadcast each week. We sincerely pray that this ministry is having a positive impact within our listening area. It is for this reason only that we produce these programs. If our ministry is having an impact in your life, would you consider partnering with us? Our goal is to continue providing Christ-centered content for those listening to this station that will help strengthen their relationship with Christ. If you would like to participate in this radio ministry, please log on to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Give Now tab on the right side of the page. If you listen to our program but don't have a church home, I'd like to extend a personal invitation to you to worship with us Sunday. You will be welcomed with open arms. For more information about our church and our ministry, call us at 772-489-9696 or visit us online at graceemmanuel.com.